We're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line for our Saints radio color analyst, Deuce McAllister. Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
No problem, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
All righty. Deuce, right off the bat, two little maneuvers the Saints did today, picking up John Ridgeway the third. Saw him play a lot at Arkansas. I kind of know, I think, who maybe pushed this to make the deal, and that's Todd Grantham. Got to understand, you know how many years Todd Grantham coached in the SEC? He has seen all those SEC defensive tackles. John is a big dude. He's 6'5 and change, 320 pounds plus and change, and his number one priority is stopping the run. And so you kind of get it, not knowing the situation with Colin Saunders. Ridgeway's got a job to do. He stops the run.
Yeah, and I think when you look at it, obviously, Colin, man, I would be interested to see when he exactly hurt that calf. I mean, because when you go back and you look at the practice they had in the Dome, there was a series where he was in and he came out. And he kind of limped off to the side of the field, and he went to the sideline, and, you know, he talked to the trainer, talked to the doctors, et cetera. I don't know if it happened there or if it was something that maybe popped up in a game or even flared up in a practice. But I know for sure I saw it, you know, as far as him go to the sideline, et cetera, and that occur. Calves are always tricky, you know, and, you know, look at what Salivary is dealing with a calf injury. You could hope that it's 2 to 3 weeks, but the thing that you don't want it to do is to be something that lingers. And so making that pick, you send a sixth rounder. I think you got back the player and obviously a seventh rounder. That gives you a little bit of a known commodity. I think they like Boyd, but at the same time, Boyd's a rookie. And so I think it's going to just take some time for him. You did have Vickers originally on your 53. He reverted back. You released him. He reverted back to your practice squad. So he goes to your practice squad. So right now they'll keep four defensive linemen. At times they've kept three defensive linemen as far as defensive tackles are concerned, particularly when you have so many defensive ends. And then by picking up another running back slash returner, I'll be intrigued how much he is used offensively, because I don't know if he's going to be a first and second down back, maybe even more of a guy that you use in slot situations. But we know in the return game, he's going to be back there. And, you know, whether it's spelling Rashid or he and Rashid are back both, or however they choose to use him, I think that he'll be a weapon for him.
One thing with him, Deuce, he can run. Man, I watched him at Iowa State. He was a great kickoff return guy. He comes into the league 3 years. He averaged 27.6 yards of kickoff return. He brought back three for scores. And so you understand. Now, again, he's not a lot of wiggle. He is straight up north-south speed, almost like a track sprinter. Get me on the track, and I can outrun it. And I know we've talked about this before. Who would be opposite Rashid Shaheed in the kickoff return game? You got him. And he can help you a little bit at running back if need be.
Yeah, no, I think so. But also, even when you talk about teams trying to kick away from one or the other, that's going to be a hard situation to do. And when you talk about just being able to shield block, I don't need you to lead block. I just need you to shield and just make sure a guy doesn't make the tackle as far as if I'm the off returner. Because normally I'm going to put a heavier guy, whether it's a tight end or another tailback back there, to be able to say, hey, look, your job is to be able to block a little bit. And I don't know if that'll be the case or if they will go with two true returners. And so I like speed, Mike. I mean, when you can have some speed on the field, it makes it a little bit harder for those defenses to say, hey, look, this is what we want to do.
Deuce, one of the things I know you and I talked about a lot was kind of what would happen in the secondary. They would keep 5 to 6. You and I talked about it. We thought Omadi would somehow make this team because he was a slot corner. He could play safety. He had actually helped in the return game. He can play on special teams. And they put him okay, on the practice squad. Same thing as Jonathan Abram, but that's not a shock to me because you know what? They did the exact same thing last year, and they kind of played, you know, shuffled the cards with him. They brought him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now they got two of them like that now with Omadi and with Jonathan Abram. I think when you looked at this roster, if I'd have told you back in May, Rico Payton makes the 53-man roster, you'd have said, ain't no way. No way that he's making this 53-man roster. And yet, I think when you look back at it, he's the biggest surprise if you go back in time to what happened today.
No, I agree. I mean, you don't even have to go back that far. I mean, you go to the start of training camp, and you would probably still say, no, there's no way that he's making this roster. And the one thing that he did, he got better and better every day. He got better and better every day. Here's something interesting, though. If Paulson Adebo and Lattimore don't get hurt, I don't think he gets the reps.
That's it.
He doesn't get enough reps to be able to show what he can do. I mean, just think about it. I mean, because if they don't get hurt, he doesn't get enough reps to be able to even go out there and show what he can do. And so that young man took advantage of the opportunities, and he proved that, hey, look, I may not be ready right now, but I'm good enough to play in this league. And, you know, just hats off to him because he got better. He got better and he got better, and he earned opportunity. And, you know, I know the Saints felt like at times maybe before training camp you could have snuck him through. But once he put it on film and he consistently put it on film, there was no way that you were going to be able to sneak him through as far as to bring him back on practice squad. So he ended up, you know, earning the opportunity to be on the 53-man roster. And here's my deal. So right now, going into it, I said that there would be 3 to 5 new players on this team. They've got two. They've got two so far, one via the claim and one via of a trade, and I mean on the 53-man roster. I still, and Charlie, you have to correct me. If my math is right, there's still an opportunity for one more player to go to the practice squad. Is that correct? And then
correct.
If you move any other player, it would have to be via release and or IR at this point. But I still feel like there's probably one or two more players that they add to this roster.
Deuce, I'd say 2 to 3. I'll be honest with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, I mean, we can
–
And so, like, and here's the other thing about this roster right here. I think this roster today, what you have today, is to possibly practice and get ready for a game against Carolina. I don't think that this will be your roster that you carry completely throughout the season. You know, this roster may look, I know it'll probably look different come week two, but this roster may look a little bit more different come week four. You know, if that makes sense. So I think this roster right here, what they have, and we know there will be some elevations come game day, but over the next week and a half as they practice, they will say, hey, look, this is what this guy can do. We feel like this guy can do that. Just because those players are on practice squad, we know they can get called up, you know, the week of the game or the day before the game, whenever they make that announcement. But withstanding all of that, I still think that they add another player or two to the current 53-man roster.
Deuce, Cullen here, actually know Charlie, giving him the day off. But with the current practice squad, do you think there's anybody that might stay through? Like you said, is there anybody that you think they're on the practice squad, but they should be a lock, they'll be here all year type of deal?
No, I think that all of those guys will have an opportunity to move up. The only one is probably Charlie Smith, and that'll be because of what's happening in the kicking game. But all of those players that are on there, pretty much all of them, you know, I would have to look at the names to be more concrete. But I think if you've got 16 right now, I would probably say 10, maybe 11 will play on Sunday with the 53-man roster. I say 10 or 11 at some point over this season will play on Sunday with the 53-man roster. And whether that's a, you know, regular call-up or he ends up calling up and he can't go back down, whatever that may be, you know, 10 or 11 of those guys will get the call to where they're playing regularly on Sundays.
Deuce, just from a numbers standpoint, I'd have bet you dollars to donuts the Saints wouldn't have kept 6 wide receivers. I mean, Bobby and I were talking about that Monday. He's like, Mike, you think they're going to keep 5? I said, they'll keep 5, but that's it. I couldn't see them go 6, and all of a sudden, you saw the sixth and, you know, the last two being one in Mason Tipton, who we didn't get to see in the preseason. You guys got to see him, and he really showed out big out in California during the practice sessions. And then Bub Means, he fought off injuries too the entire way. We saw a little bit of him in the preseason games. Did that surprise you? Not so much the player, but the number of six.
No, I agree. You know, at one point, Mike, I was probably stuck on four. You know, I was probably stuck on four.
That was Bobby's deal. He thought it was four.
How many they carry? Because I looked at them going heavy tight end, and right now, it depends on where you throw Taysom in. You know, you either got three tight ends or four tight ends. I figured they would grab another one there, just how they want to run that system. But right now, it's more of a traditional or not traditional. It's more of a Sean Payton count offensively how they're built. And so that's one thing to watch on, see if that changes to where they have, you know, four tight ends and Taysom makes it a little tricky because he can line up at the tight end position. He can line up at the quarterback position. He can line up at he gives you almost an extra player where you normally would have a true player in that spot. And so maybe that's where you got away with carrying. I know on the defensive line side, you're getting away carrying a little as far as D tackle, you're carrying an extra guy there. But at the receiver spot, you're probably a little heavy because I don't see all six of those guys being up on game day. You know, it may be a situation where you have five up. It may be a situation where you only have four up on game day. So it'll be something to watch. I do know this for a fact. They loved Tipton. I mean, I know you didn't see him play in the game, but the kid has a little something. Now, will that translate to 10 touchdowns and, you know, 70 catches? I don't know. I think that's going to take some time. But I do know this. If he gets a chance to go out there and perform, he's got a little something to him.
Deuce, we got a texter, and I think it's a good question. Asked about what percentage of the plays you think Cam Jordan's going to play a defensive tackle. Now, we know it's going to be in the NASCAR package when that's going to happen, but would you think they would put him there even when you're not in the NASCAR package?
And even he's not bumping inside on all NASCAR as well. And so that's he doesn't bump in. They've got a rotation, and the other part of it is, do you have four defensive ends up or do you have three up? You know, so is Peyton Turner up as a DN or is he not up? You know, is Foskey available or is he not up? So if I only have three defensive ends up and available, then Cam may play a little D-tackle, but I'm not playing Cam inside a lot. I'm going to play him a little, but I'm not playing him a lot in because I don't have any a rotation guy. I have to have a rotation guy amongst, you know, he, Granderson, and 99. I can't even think
Chase
of
Chase Young.
Chase Young. So when you look at it from that standpoint, if there's a percentage inside a defensive tackle, probably 30%.
Okay.
Probably 30% of the time. I mean, I even when you say NASCAR, second and seven, second and eight, I don't see the Saints going NASCAR with that look. I don't see bumping Cam inside with that look. I think it'll be game by game, and it'll be a situational that they do it. But, you know, NASCAR is normally third and six, third and six, maybe third and seven. Second and six, I'm not going NASCAR. I'm going to just go regular nickel.
Deuce, the punting situation, again, is another change for this team. And I believe in Darren Rizzi. I think he knows what he's doing on special teams. But I know in watching the OTAs here, Matt Haball, and watching him at Vanderbilt, every time he punted the ball, it looked like he was trying to hit the air out of it. I mean, he was trying to get as much distance as he could out of every kick, and there's some good in that and also some bad because you can outkick your coverage on it. With Headley, I think he had an advantage, and then the last couple games, it sort of fell apart on him. Do you think that played the big part? Because I think if it's just leg talent, Hayball's got it over him. If it's just leg strength and being able to kick a football from a punting standpoint. But there's more to this game than that. I just think the last couple weeks it kind of fell apart on Headley.
Mike, how does this team have to win if they're going to be successful?
No, you got to play small ball. You got to win on special teams.
You got to win on special team, and you got your defense. It doesn't have to be elite. It doesn't have to be top five, but your defense has to be a top 10 unit. Now, your special teams, they have to be elite. They have to be elite. When I have a chance to pin a team inside the 10-yard line, you know, not the 20. The 20 is, that's obsolete. That's 10 years ago. That's 15 years ago. If you can't pin a team inside the 10-yard line consistently as a punter, and particularly when you're at the, let's call it 45, you're 45, not the offense, definitely not the opponent's 45. You better be able to pin them. But if you're at the 45 and you can't pin him inside, you know, the 10 or at worst the 15, if you can't do that consistently, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. So you're going to have to win the field position game. You're going to have to pin teams in consistent. When I need a punt and I've got to get it out of back, I've got to have it. I've got to know that I've got 40 yards. I'm banking on 45 yards of you flipping the field. And then when you get an opportunity to pin an opponent inside the 10, I got to know it's money. And some of this falls on the gunners, but that punter has to have it in his bag where that ball is, you know, 7, 8 yard line, 5 yard line. It hits and it's spinning back. It's spinning back. It's not going into the end zone. And so I do agree, and I won't say it was a pressure that got our punter. I mean, because I think that he's going to still punt in the NFL. I just think that it over the last couple of weeks, not just practice. I mean, not just the games, but maybe even times in practice, it didn't happen. It didn't hit. It did not hit.
Deuce, you and I have spoken about this a lot, even before training camp started. But you always brought up about developing young players, how crucial it is for this franchise. Now, I wish I could say it was more on the offensive side, but it really has been on defense. We see the progression with Brian Brisset. I don't know who's had a better camp. Alante Taylor and what he's been able to do at that nickel corner position, I think he's more comfortable today, or maybe more in time mentally with being able to play that. Anthony Argie. Okay, when we watched him at Vanderbilt, he was always a get-up-the-field guy because he struggled a little bit in coverage. You see a different guy today. Those three guys, we talk about young players and developing their skills and being mentally right, really took their game to another level this offseason.
So I'll give you the break on what I see in all three of those players. With Alante Taylor, you see a confident player. You see a player that is comfortable not only playing inside in the slots and understanding route combinations and patterns, but also understanding the timing of offenses, the timing of movement with the quarterback, and what the level throws look like. You know, as far as 5 yards, 7 yards, you know, you have the over coming over, then you've got a deep route, you know, it's a comeback, whatever. He's a lot more comfortable in that position as far as the slot and outside. So he's playing with an extreme amount of confidence. The one thing that he gets in trouble sometimes, and it's all players, is I'll get sloppy with my technique. Yep. And once I get sloppy with my technique, you know, good teams, they're gonna expose you. They're gonna expose you. So he's playing with a lot of confidence. When you talk about a player like Anthony Orji was all over the field for Vanderbilt. I mean, it's from strong safety. Mike linebacker, you know, Sam linebacker. At one point, you know, they're playing a 3-4, so he's at the jack. He's at the wheel, you know, lining up as a defensive end. He's all over the field. He's a lot more comfortable in what he's doing with the Saints. He can play all three linebacker positions. The only thing that I would tell Anthony right now is to make sure on his keys, when he's reading an offensive lineman and understanding down and distance, at times he will be a little late seeing its pass, and now he's in chase and recovery mode. If he can see that and not get in recovery mode to where now I can make the play and I'm not hoping that the quarterback doesn't make a good throw, that's where he's going to be all over the field. Because reading and understanding what a team is doing from you when a run situation is there, he's seeing it. I mean, he's seeing it. He's able to cut up underneath. He can outrun guys. He can take on blocks. You know, it's just that little subtleness, and it's reps to understand, oh, man, that's play action. I can't take that false step. and get sucked up in because I've got to get out in the flat, or I've got a tight end that can run, and I've got to make sure that he doesn't get over the top with me. And it was one more player.
Alante Taylor.
No, I talked about him.
Okay.
It was one more. Anthony Orji, Alante
Taylor. Brian Brisset.
So with Brian, last year, remember he had the shoulder surgery or injury? You can see him be able to extend fully. So I don't know how much he's benching now. I don't know if it's back 100% as far as him having full capabilities to extend. But you can see him playing a lot more with just being able to extend and whether I want to get upfield. He's always been quick. I mean, he's always had the nasty spin move. That's always been there. But, I mean, to be able to play with power for a guy that's not known to play with power, I think that has helped him tremendously. And then, you know, just for him, it's finishing, you know, once I get to the backfield, can I get the guy down? You know, it's one thing to get back there and cause some havoc, but can I get the trifecta where I not only beat my lineman, I'm able to come with the sack and force the fumble, you know, and so, or I'm able to get behind the offensive lineman and I can get the tackle for loss myself. I don't have to wait for the help to come.
Deuce, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate you and your insights. And now all you got to worry about the next couple of days is Furman.
We're good on that. I got one comment on the quarterback, the number two. Who's the backup? Who's the backup? I'm fine with if they go either or. The biggest thing, the question becomes, how can I get those guys reps as far as in practice?
Yeah.
If they flip-flop them as far as even to run the scout team, yes, you're not running the Saints offense, but how many reps does the number two quarterback get when the Saints practice offensively anyway?
No, he ain't getting a ton of reps.
One or two.
Two at the most.
That's it.
If
it's 12 offensive snaps, your number two guy gets one or two. That's it. You're not getting a ton. And so, man, let them young guys develop. Let them develop. I mean, both get to dress on Sunday. Both get to dress on Sunday. Now, what they will have to do is declare which player is two or three on Sunday just to say, hey, this player can come in and he can't come out. But if this player goes in and he can't play anymore, they both get to dress on Sunday. They both can go and compete. Get them as many reps as you can, you know, and hey, continue to work. That's what I care about. Anywhere in there, I don't think it's written in stone that once you're the number two player, number two quarterback, that you're the number two quarterback for the rest of the year. Is that written in stone anywhere?
No, it isn't.
No. So, the work continues. Appreciate it, my brother.
Thank you, Deuce. Appreciate it, bud. See you Saturday.